जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज काचार्य अष्टोत्तर सत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर ललिता विशाखा की जय। श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। श्री श्री गौरनिताय की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatyuttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, titled The Residence of Jambudvip Offer Prayers. Text 9. I'll just chant the verse by myself and read the translation.
Svastyastu vishvasya khalah prasidatam dhyayantu bhutani shivam mithodhiya manascha bhadram bhajata dadhokshaje
आवेशतामनु मतिरप्यहेतुकी।
Srila Prabhupada's translation. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, I am happy to be back with all of you who are studying different courses at the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, VIHE. I am so glad that the VIHE is also organizing such morning classes in addition to the regular classes that happen for the Bhakti Shastri or the Bhakti Vaibhava courses. And I'm also happy that this is going on full swing even whilst the whole world is reeling under the effects of the COVID pandemic. A couple of days ago, I spoke on the subject of envy. That was part one. And today will be part two on the topic of envy. You have heard from other speakers about the other enemies of the living entity, like lust, greed, anger, pride, and illusion. Last time, we spoke briefly about how it is necessary to become free of envy in order to be able to hear and understand the messages of Bhagavad Gita and indeed of any Krishna conscious topic. And by hearing here we mean the realization as well. We also heard about the definition of envy and what its origin is and how everybody in the material world is actually under the spell of envy and how envy in the heart causes so much damage and pain to everyone. I started out today's class by reading a verse from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this chapter, the 18th chapter, the residents of Jambudvip offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. And amongst these prayers, we also find the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, in which in the previous verse he starts off by saying, Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya Namaste jas tejase avir avir bhava avir bhava. So he started off by offering his respectful obeisances to Lord Narsimhadev, his worshipable deity. And in this verse that I just read in the beginning, he is exhibiting his sublime characteristics as a pure Vaishnava. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that a Vaishnava is actually like a desire tree, and the Vaishnava can fulfill anyone's desires. But Prahlad, being an exalted pure Vaishnava, does not pray for himself. He prays for the welfare of all living beings, including not just those who are gentle, but also those who are envious and those who are cruel and mischievous. So this is the attitude of a Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada says, that a Vaishnava is one who always thinks of the welfare of other living entities. Now, the important point is that when one's heart is full of envy, or to the degree that one's heart has envy, one will not be able to think of the welfare of other living entities. One's mind will be preoccupied with trying to do what one feels is best for oneself in the material conception of life. In order to be able to actually be a well-wisher of everyone in all circumstances is not easy. One has to have a very pure heart in order to be a true well-wisher of everyone. We see that Srila Prabhupada used to sign off his letters to his disciples or to devotees by saying, "Your ever well-wisher." It is only the pure devotee of Krishna, and of course Krishna himself, who can actually be true well-wishers of everyone. And the reason for that is, it is only the pure devotees and Krishna himself who are free from the malaise or the illness of envy. So long as envy exists in the heart, it is not possible for us to feel genuinely for the suffering of others. We may feel it to some degree, or we may feel it selectively for some people but not for others. But for the pure devotee of the Lord, this feeling is universal and ever-present. This is what distinguishes a pure devotee. So Srila Prabhupada goes on to say in the purport that Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Paramanidmatsaranam. I had cited this verse from the Bhagavatam last time, that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are nirmatsara, free from envy, ideally, and also for those who sincerely want to become completely free of envy. Therefore, Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kalaha Prasidatam. Kala means an envious person. Prasidatam means may they become happy or may they become peaceful. And in this ninth verse that I started off this talk with, Prahlad Maharaj begins by saying, Swasti astu vishvasya. Swasti refers to auspiciousness. And you must have heard this word swasti when yajñas are being done. At the time of that, you know, the performance of homas, swasti, that is, that the word swasti is used, auspiciousness. So may there be good fortune throughout the universe. Swasti astu vishvasya. The word vishva indicates the entire universe. Astu means let there be. So the pure devotee is always seeking auspiciousness, not in a limited space, not just for the family or the community or the country or the species or the planet. But the pure devotee seeks auspiciousness all over the universe. And not just for those who are saintly or who are devotees or who profess the kind of beliefs that I do or who belong to my kind of community or my group of people, but for the entire universe. Kalaha prasidatam. So let the envious people, kalaha, become pacified, prasidatam. And what else is he seeking for the people of this world? Prahlad says, dhyayantu bhutani shimam mithodhya. Bhutani refers to all the living entities. Dhyayantu means let them consider. Let them think in this way. In which way? Shivam mithodhya. Let their intelligence work in a way that they think Shivam. Shivam means auspicious. So let them think of what is good for each other's welfare or auspiciousness. Mitha means with each other. So Prahlad's prayer is, let there be auspiciousness throughout the universe, let the envious people also become pacified, and let all the people of this world think about each other's welfare. Manasya bhadram bhajatat adhokshaje. And let their minds become completely engaged in the service of the Lord. Bhajatat adhokshaje. Adhokshaje, as we all know, is another name of Krishna, indicating one who is beyond the reach of this material senses. He can be approached only by spiritualized, purified senses. So, may the hearts of people become free of envy. May the hearts of people become purified by engaging in devotional service to Lord Adhokshaja or Lord Krishna. Aveshyatam no matir api ahaituki. Therefore, let us all engage our mind in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Krishna. Let us always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada also mentions, the material world is full of envious persons. But if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. So Srila Prabhupada repeats the point that unless one is freed from envy, one cannot think of the welfare of others. But anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. So here is something interesting. Unless one's heart is free of envy, one cannot do genuine welfare work for others. So what is the way to cleanse one's heart of envy? To take up Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada continues and says, therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Bahed Nrisimha Hridaye Nrisimha. Let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, I'm just quoting a few portions from the purport because the purport is quite long. So in another portion of the purport, Prabhupada says, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. So this is actually the spiritual world. The spiritual world, the material world, as we know from experience and by observation and also by reading from scripture, is full of envy, where everyone wants to pull down everybody else. So if the Krishna consciousness movement spreads everywhere, and if the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are sincere, are devotees of the Lord, who are struggling in the proper way to cleanse their hearts of this disease of envy, then what will happen to the world? Let's hear Srila Prabhupada's answer from the purport. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if by the grace of Krishna everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious people will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays, Shivam Mitho Dhiya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others. But in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatad Adhokshaje. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, through this purport, is elaborating on the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, on his prayers. It is such an important message for us. Let's consider for a few moments also the condition of the world in terms of envy. In the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada says, because everyone in this material world is envious, there is competition. You know, the nature of the competition here in this material world is very bitter. The kind of competition in which one wants to go ahead in material life at the cost of others. It is not a philosophy where everyone wants to progress and be happy together. The material world is characterized by a philosophy in which everyone individually or in a very small narrow group based on some parochial considerations wants to progress ahead exclusively at the cost of others, even if it means suppressing others, exploiting others. And the foundation for such a philosophy is envy and selfish desire. If our heart is free of envy, then we want everybody to prosper, everybody to be happy, everybody to progress in life. So the devotees of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, are not only free from all material envy, but they are also very kind to everyone in an attempt to establish a competition-less society with God in the center. Excuse me. So this is a very important point. A competition-less world. That is what the devotees want to establish through the Krishna consciousness movement. The material world witnesses constant, bitter, malicious competition, where people simply want to pull each other down and get glory for themselves. But the devotees of the Lord don't want to establish such a civilization. They want to establish a world which is free of such malicious materialistic competition. The competition of the devotees actually is, how can I help others go even further ahead than me? This is found in the spiritual world. Elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada has also explained the dealings of the gopis in relation to each other and Krishna. Each gopi wants to serve the other, to move closer to Krishna. They want the other gopis to move further. Radharani pushes the other gopis ahead. You go and serve Krishna. The other gopis are serving Srimati Radharani. No, you go ahead and be with Krishna. So in this way, the residents of Vrindavan are setting the perfect standard for service to Krishna by assisting others move ahead in the service to Krishna. The devotees of the Lord feel very happy when they see others becoming happy in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada explains the reason for that, because God or Krishna is in the center. Unless Krishna is in the center, unless that remains the exclusive focus of the devotees, or of anybody for that matter, there cannot be a competition-less world. There cannot be freedom from envy. So devotees, Srila Prabhupada says, have no need to compete with materialists, because they are on the path back to Godhead. The devotees are not at all interested in all the things that the materialistic people are striving to achieve with so much hard work and anxiety, because they have accepted illusion or untruth, asatgrahat, sada samudvigna dhyat asatgrahat. And therefore they are full of anxiety, full of fear. So the exploitative mentality, the enjoying spirit, is driving people to compete with each other bitterly and pull each other down in the struggle to emerge individually supreme, or perhaps collectively for their small group. The solution, Srila Prabhupada says, is that one must keep Krishna firmly in the center. And he also says that actually the gopis use all the ingredients in Krishna's service. They don't try to use the ingredients for their own pleasure. This is the standard of bhakti that we should aspire for. So similarly, instead of utilizing all the objects of this world and the people of this world for our selfish aggrandizement or pleasure, we should try to use everything in the material world in the service of Krishna, and we should try to engage everybody else, whether they are people of our family or whether in our neighborhood or in our state or our country or wherever. Everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna. This is the way in which one can actually establish Vaikuntha, or the spiritual world. Elsewhere also, Srila Prabhupada says in one purport in the fifth canto again, One person is envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it is not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but this Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society where there is no envy. See, such a beautiful thing Srila Prabhupada is saying. He's saying that the material world, yes, that is full of envy. Everyone is envious of everybody else. But what is the purpose or the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement? It is to create an atmosphere of non-envy. And then Prabhupada clarifies that it is not possible that everyone will become a pure devotee or even a devotee. But this Krishna consciousness movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. Meaning, what Srila Prabhupada is saying here is that as devotees of ISKCON, as followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sankirtan movement, we should try to create a society of devotees which will be a beacon light, which will be a shining example for the world to see and follow and emulate. You see, if the devotees interact with each other in a way that exhibits envy, that exhibits jealousy and other negative traits, then how will the other people of this world be convinced that this philosophy is the one to follow? So therefore, when the devotees interact in a way that clearly shows to people who are observing us that we are free from envy, we simply want to assist each other and to assist the whole world without any selfish motive. We want everyone to become devotees of the Lord. We want everyone to become happy. And we do not distinguish between caste, creed, community, nationality, language, and whatever other material designations that there may be. Then people will be convinced. And they may be induced to also participate in this Krishna consciousness movement. And when they do so, their hearts will also become free from envy. In this particular verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada cites this verse from Chanakya Pandit, speaks about the nature of envious people. Envious people are more dangerous than snakes, Chanakya says. And there is that verse, sarpaha kruraha kalaha kruraha sarpat kruratha kalaha mantraushadhi vashet sarpaha kalaha kena nivaryate. So the meaning of this verse is sarpaha, which means a snake, kalaha, kruraha means is very cruel or very envious. So a snake is cruel and envious. That everyone knows. Because the nature of a snake is that it bites for no reason. Usually other animals, they will attack only if they feel threatened or if they are in some great need. Let's say a tiger will attack if it is starving and it's for days and it's hungry, it needs food, then it will attack. But even if a beast of prey comes close to the tiger and the tiger is full, the tiger will not attack that animal. So, but a snake is not like that. A snake attacks for no reason. And therefore a snake is considered a symbol of envy. So if you really want to criticize somebody, not that I'm suggesting we should, but if somebody wants to indicate how envious a person is, he'll say he's like a snake, because a snake is the symbol of envy. Because in that condition, a snake will bite anyone regardless of a cause. So sarpaha kruraha and kalaha kruraha. Kalaha refers to a human being who's envious. So an envious human being also acts in a cruel way. Sarpat kruratah kalaha. Even more envious than a snake is an envious human being. He's more dangerous, he's more cruel. So an envious human being can cause more harm or damage than a snake. Why is that? So Chanakya says, mantraushadhi vashet sarpaha. So a sarpaha or a snake can be controlled, can be brought under control, vashet, by mantra and aushadhi. Mantra means, some chants, some certain mantras when they are chanted, they can pacify or control a snake. Similarly, there are other herbs that can be used. I have personally witnessed this at some places, but it's a long story, when I was in one of the villages in India, where they cured a person of snake bite, just by chanting some mantras and using some herbs. There was this lady in the village who came in, howling with pain, and because she was bitten by a snake, because these people doing agricultural activities, they were harvesting, I think, the crops or something, the snakes were in the field, and she was bitten. And the villagers had accommodated me in a Hanuman temple in the village. So I was staying there in one room there. And then I heard this huge commotion, and this lady was brought in a stretcher, and she was in a lot of pain. And then they called this person, and he was chanting mantras, and some kind of miraculous transformation happened, and she became all right. And the snake, poison or whatever it was taken away, and she went out walking. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada does mention this on some occasions, that a snake can be controlled by mantras and by herbs. So mantraushadhi vashet sarpaha kalaha kena nivaryate. So even if a snake is controlled like this, but there is no such remedy for an envious person. Nothing can be done. And we see this in the example of Duryodhana. He was envy personified. no matter what kind of good instruction or advice that he received from anyone, from his mother Gandhari or from his father Dhritarashtra, in times when Dhritarashtra, you know, got into that mood, from Sanjaya, the secretary of Dhritarashtra, or from Vyasadev, or from Krishna himself, from Bhishma, nobody's good instruction was able to penetrate into the consciousness of Duryodhan. His envy would not subside. And ultimately he tried to kill them all, and it culminated in the battle of Kurukshetra. And of course Duryodhan had to die at that time. So the point is that the nature of envy is such that it burns like a fire that can never be extinguished. No amount of good instruction, no amount of loving talk, nothing can satisfy an envious person. So, and in this world we see this actually. All of us have experience of looking at the world around us. And when we introspect, we may see glimpses of that in our own heart also. When we may see traces of envy, when we see why is this person getting so much success or happiness or this or that, we feel a tinge of that sometimes in our heart. But Prabhupada is giving us a very important point. As devotees, we are responsible for showing to the world how we can create a different world, not a world out there that is full of these envious dealings. We have to set an example amongst ourselves as devotees that will make it obvious to the people at large that here is a group of people that is extraordinary. They are not like us. They don't envy each other. In fact, they are willing to do anything to assist each other to become happy, to make advancement, to make progress. It doesn't matter who is in the forefront, who is in the background. You know, somebody has to be in the forefront because the work has to be done. But devotees don't clamor for being up there in the front to get prestige or to get name and fame and whatever. And they don't become envious when they see other devotees in the forefront getting all the name and fame and success and glory. They become happy when they see other devotees getting glorified and getting successful. And the devotees like to assist other devotees. Yes, you also become more advanced in Krishna consciousness. You also, come on, do nice kirtan. You do nice book distribution. You give nice classes. You also become an expert devotee. So in this way, if the devotee community, the members of the devotee community, act in a way to simply assist other devotees to move ahead without any tinge of envy, this will be an exemplary society for everyone to follow. So now, how can this be created within our society? So there is a verse in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 30th chapter, which deals with the prachetas. And this verse is a nice verse. It speaks about how one can actually become free from envy and all the negative traits. Yatriya dyante katha mrishtah trishnayah prashamo yatah nirvairam yatra bhuteshu no dvego yatra kaschana. So the meaning of this verse is wherever idyante means worship here means to actually accept, katha mrishtah. So wherever the kathas, the discussions of the Supreme Lord are worship, in other words, where there is constant discussions of Krishna going on, trishnaya prasamo yataha. So all this hankering for material enjoyment, etc., will be subdued. There's all this exploitative spirit, the enjoying spirit, the quarreling spirit, you know, the materialistic frame of mind will be destroyed wherever the kathas, the discussions of the Supreme Lord go on. And not just the enjoying spirit, but what happens? Nirvairam yatra bhuteshu, no dvego yatra kashchana. So devotee or people will become free from envy and enmity. Nirvairaha. Vaira means enmity or envy. So when one absorbs oneself in Krishna Katha and the holy names of the Lord, then one becomes free from envy and one also becomes free from agitation, mental agitation. Na udvegaha. Udvega means agitation. So here is the formula that the Srimad Bhagavatam gives. Yes, we want to establish a society which is free from envy, but how to do that? This can be done by keeping the focus on hearing and chanting about Krishna. Yes, we have many other things to do which are also important. We have to maintain ourselves, we have to maybe have a business, or we have other services to do perhaps. But the focus on hearing and chanting should never be reduced. If we simply continue with this, then automatically everything that Srila Prabhupada referred to earlier will happen. And in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that in the material world, everyone is envious of his fellow man. Animalistic envy exists in human society as long as there is no performance of Sankirtan Yajna. So envy is an animalistic quality, and that will exist in human society only till such time, Srila Prabhupada says, as there is no performance of Sankirtana, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. In other words, wherever there is constant chanting of the names of the Lord, there is constant hearing about the name, fame, form, messages and pastimes of the Lord, then there will be no envy. So therefore, as members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, our foremost duty is to see that we absorb ourselves in this hearing and chanting process. When we do that, automatically we will become inspired, motivated to reach out to others and give them this most nectarian remedy for all problems. In the next verse here, Prabhupada says another good instruction. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else. But by vibrating or discussing the holy names of the Lord, one becomes non-envious and devoid of material hankering. Because of our envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have become envious of all other living entities. When one is no longer envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be real peace, unity, and fraternity in human society. Such sublime instructions given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And when that happens, then automatically everything will be resolved. So the envy of other living entities can be erased if our envy of the Supreme Lord is erased. And the envy of the Supreme Lord can be erased when we start loving Krishna. And we can start loving Krishna when we immerse ourselves in hearing and chanting about Krishna. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. To give love of Godhead to everyone. And Mahaprabhu is extremely merciful. And I want to conclude by briefly narrating one pastime in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibits his very merciful nature. As we all know, Mahaprabhu transformed by his mercy the consciousness of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Bhattacharya was a great scholar, but unfortunately he was an impersonalist and a Mayavadi scholar. So he wanted to make Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into an impersonalist sannyasi. Anyway, it so happened by Mahaprabhu's mercy that it was the Bhattacharya who got converted, and he became a faithful, pure devotee of Lord Jagannath, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he used to serve Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would visit his house for prasadam on some occasions. One time, when Mahaprabhu visited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house for prasadam, Bhattacharya's son-in-law, Amogha, was also there. Bhattacharya's daughter was called Shati, and her husband was Amogha. Now, unfortunately, Amogha was a very envious person, and he would criticize the devotees, and especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this greatly displeased Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife. And on this occasion, when Amogha was at home, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked him to leave so that he could serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu peacefully. And he knew that Amogha had this habit of criticizing and being envious. Therefore, when he was serving Mahaprabhu, he wanted to ensure that Amogha would not enter and create a disturbance there. So, Sarvabhauma used to stand at the door with a stick to ensure that Amogha would not enter. But somehow or the other, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a little inattentive to the security department, and he became more absorbed in serving the different items to Mahaprabhu, Amogha became, he took advantage of this opportunity and entered into the room. And he saw that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had given so many, items for Mahaprabhu to eat. And this this disturbed him very greatly. And he began to say, "Here we see enough food to feed 10 or 20 people, and this one sannyasi is eating this all by himself." When Sarvabhauma heard this, he was enraged, and he ran after Sarvabhauma, he ran after Amogha with a stick. But Amogha was much younger, and he was able to run away. And Sarvabhauma was feeling very bad about this. He was distraught with grief. Somehow, Mahaprabhu pacified him, and he took his prasadam, and then he left. Meanwhile, Sarvabhauma accompanied him, and Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry, what is the problem? Whatever he has said is the truth. You did give me enough food for 20 people, and I alone was just eating that one thing, so what he said was correct." But Sarvabhauma naturally was not happy to hear this. So he returned home and he began to speak to his wife, and he said, "You know, I think the solution is to, the only way to atone for this great offense that we have committed is to kill our envious son-in-law. Or the other option is that I should kill myself because I heard this kind of offensive talk." But then he said, "You know, destroying Brahmana bodies is not correct. He is a Brahmana, I am a Brahmana, so we cannot do this. So the only alternative left to me now is to banish this person from our life and to tell our daughter, Shati, that she should renounce her fallen husband and give him up. And that is the only way we can atone for this great offense that we have committed at the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. And let our daughter become a widow." This was what Sarvabhauma's wife was praying. So in any case, they were very, very sad. In the meanwhile, what happened is, the next morning, Mahaprabhu got information that Amogha, who had gone elsewhere to sleep, he had dared not come back home because he knew Sarvabhauma would beat him. So he went elsewhere. And then in the next morning, he woke up with a severe bout of cholera, deadly cholera, and he was on the deathbed. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he rushed there and he placed his lotus hands on Amoga's chest and said, "Amoga, you are a Brahmana. A Brahmana's heart is supposed to be pure. So how come we find that in your heart there is envy? Envy has no place in the heart of a Brahmana. So please give up this envy and chant the holy names of the Lord." And because of Mahaprabhu's mercy and his touch to the chest of Amoga, Amoga's envy disappeared. And Amoga began chanting the holy names in great ecstasy. And he started exhibiting all the symptoms of devotional ecstasy. And all the devotees were struck with wonder. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Henceforth, Amoga, no longer will you have envy towards anybody in your heart." So this was a miraculous transformation that happened in Jagannath Puri. The same mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is available to all of us today. Maybe not in such a dramatic fashion as Mahaprabhu personally coming to us and touching our bodies and relieving us of envy and giving us the ecstasy of Sankirtan. But the Sankirtan is available. The Krishna Katha is available. The association of devotees is available. The Krishna consciousness movement and all its facilities is available for us. So if we simply take advantage of this Krishna consciousness movement and sincerely strive to move ahead in our Krishna consciousness, then we will also receive that same mercy of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, the way to get our hearts rid of envy is, number one, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord in the association of devotees. Number two, to serve the devotees and appreciate them, to realize how wonderful it is that we have this association and how wonderful are the qualities that the devotees have, to appreciate that and be in a mood of service with respect to them. Just like in the Bhagavatam it is said that all the flowers in Vaikuntha, the beautiful flowers like Kunda, Parijat, you know, Mandar, Punnaga, Nagakeshar, etc., they all are pure devotees of the Lord. And when they see the service that Tulasi is offering to Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu, they become overjoyed. They cannot serve the Lord like Tulasi can serve. But they don't become envious. They become appreciative of the services that Tulasi is rendering. So similarly, if we also appreciate the services that other devotees are rendering and we start serving them as well, then that will help us to get our hearts rid of this envy once and for all. And the third is to participate in the preaching movement, in the welfare activities of spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere. Then by engaging in that activity, we will actually become genuine well-wishers of everybody. So number one, therefore, is to engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna in all sincerity, regularly, every day. Second, is to live in the association of devotees in a mood of service and appreciation of their qualities and service. And third, to participate in the welfare activities of the Krishna consciousness movement by reaching out and sharing Krishna consciousness with everybody. And by doing this, progressively our hearts will also become free from envy. Okay, so I think I've gone ahead a little more. So I leave some time for questions. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, thank you for this wonderful deep insight you have given us to meditate on. We are really obliged to you. I want to place some doubt within my, you know, my thought along your class. In the previous class, you have given a philosophical approach to envy. And I listened to that class, you know, in a more, you know, intense way. Although you didn't give a precise definition to the term envy, you only follow the Sastry explanation and Srila Prabhupada, you know, use of the term. So I built my question on that. You know, sometimes we see people say, or we hear often, that you have to take up, hey Prabhu, you have to take up this envy from your heart. Hey, you cannot use this envy in devotional service. So why do we wonder, is envy a knife? You know, we see a knife in the hands of a doctor. It can serve two purposes. It can, you know, bring somebody to life, and at the same time, there can be some mistake also, and it can take away life. And the same knife in the hand of the gunda also, we know definitely there is violence. So what is this actually? Envy? Is it an object that often we hear that we have to take out of the heart? We have to, you know, it can be used. It cannot be used in spiritual practice. So what is it, Maharaj? This is my question.
Okay, thank you. Tribhuvanath Prabhu, right?
My obeisance, yes, Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Krishna. So, Tribhuvanath Prabhu, I did define envy last time as well. One was from the Nectar of Devotion, where Prabhupada says that when, I'm just paraphrasing it, not word for word, but when one feels a sense of malice by looking at another's advancement or progress, then that state of mind is called envy. Okay, malice means to have an intention to harm someone. So in very simple terms, what we can say, is, and that I mentioned also last time, that envy is the pain that a person feels when he or she sees the progress or the happiness or the success of another person. Or conversely, it is the happiness or the pleasure that one feels when one sees somebody else's failure or distress. Yes? So envy reflects in this way. So envy is a state of mind in which we cannot tolerate the well-being of others or the happiness and progress of others. And therefore, because there is envy in the heart, we cannot genuinely be well-wishers of others, and therefore we cannot actually do welfare work. So I hope that answers your question. Okay, so is there any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Obeisances to you. This was actually the real nectar. The shower you took early in the morning was nothing compared to the shower you just gave. Thank you so much. Just a small comment and then a question. I heard somewhere Srila Prabhupada or some senior devotees or some class that this is the one quality that we cannot use in devotional service. We can even use sometimes anger in devotional service, but envy cannot be used in any way in devotional service in relationship to the analogy of a knife in the hands of a doctor or a, you know, of a surgeon or a bad person. Is that true? That's my question to you. And and my second part of the question would be small bouts of jealousy and similar sentiments. Does that also lead to gross envy in the end? Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Advaita Krishna Prabhu. From where are you from? Mauritius, okay. So your question is whether envy can be utilized in Krishna's service. Yes, you are correct. Generally, envy is the one thing we cannot use in Krishna's service. Although envy does exist on the spiritual platform, in the spiritual world, but not in the way that it exists here. You know, it exists on the platform of pure love to make the pastimes of the Lord more relishable and exciting and adventurous. Therefore, you may have the left-wing gopis, right-wing gopis, you know, all that, and one group and the other group, and but those do not exist on the material platform. They exist on the platform of the highest level of Krishna Prema. So, also we see in one purport, Prabhupada says that Lakshmi Devi is envious of Tulsi Maharani because even though Lakshmi Devi is on the heart of the Supreme Personality of God, it's seated on his chest actually as Sri Vatsa, yes. But she has to go every now and then to cater to the needs of her worshippers who are all over the place. Whereas Tulsi Maharani, Tulsi leaves, remain fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord and they don't go anywhere. So the quality of service rendered by Tulsi leaves is higher than that of Lakshmi, and Krishna appreciates the service of Tulsi more than he does the service of Lakshmi Devi. So therefore, because Tulsi remains fixed at the Lord's lotus feet, Lakshmi Devi becomes a little envious. But we have to see that this envy is not material envy. It is a kind of appreciation, which is the spiritual, the corresponding spiritual phenomenon or state of consciousness in the spiritual world. See, everything in the spiritual world exists in pure form, and it is reflected in a perverted form in the material world. Right? So, prema or love transforms into lust and exists here as that. Then we have illusion, which exists in the material world, but it exists as pure knowledge in the spiritual world. Right? So there is greed in the material world, but it exists as complete satisfaction and happiness. You know, what exists here as anger actually exists as compassion in the spiritual world. So the corresponding element in the spiritual world to anger is, compassion, the spiritual equivalent of it. Similarly, for envy, the corresponding equivalent is appreciation, to actually appreciate something. So when Srila Prabhupada mentions that Lakshmi Devi is envious of Tulsi, we can understand it is in the sense of appreciation. Similarly, for us, we can't use envy directly, but we should try to use its original spiritual form, which is appreciation. And we appreciate that the wonderful qualities of the Lord or of the devotees, like that, and that's how we can make advancement. Okay, I don't know if we have time for another question. Yes, so okay. Yeah, one or two more questions, and then we'll wind up. Yes.
Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna,
Maharaj.
Yes, please.
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Maharaj, personally what I have seen and experienced, the basic problem which I have seen is when there are, it comes to preaching and they are at a same plus more than one or three or four preachers. So what we see, every preacher has his conflicts or devotees. So then relationship between among those devotees, those who are preaching, it becomes, you know, disturbed. And somewhere it seems that envy plays a role. So how to cope up with such a situation? Because this is often seen in the, you know, ISKCON, which I am speaking.
Well, apart from the three things that I mentioned earlier about tackling envy, in situations like this, also at a practical level, what helps is some good organizational measures to take of who preaches where. You have a proper kind of division of services so that the opportunity for possibility of such things is reduced. So one needs to organize the things better. So there must be some good level of planning and organization and management to make sure that these things don't happen where people are doing the same program or something. But ultimately, whatever be the organizing and management we may do, it's a matter of the heart. So we have to ultimately come to terms with the fact that we have to appreciate other devotees and try to focus on our hearing and chanting so that we can overcome whatever traces of negativity there may be about others in our hearts. Okay, one final question. Yes, yes.
I have a question that, envy, I heard from His Holiness Bhaktacharya Sri Maharaj that when anybody is envious of us, so then we can avoid his association. So first of all, we can try to negotiate the situation, and then if it's not possible and he's not convinced, so then we can go away. We can avoid his association. So in practical respect, how to deal with this, the relationship, to sustain the relationship, so how can we avoid this kind of situation? This is one thing, and how subtle the envy is, like anger and the lust, there are some subtle elements, but also envy. So how subtle it is, because I see some devotees that they are very sophisticated, like, you know, everything comes from the heart sophisticatedly. They are non-envious, so they always think of, they always think about the welfare of others. So this happens for them, is that due to their consciousness that the heart is pure, or they are thinking everything, they are judging everything on the level of intelligence? So this is what, to know, Maharaj.
Okay, Rajeshwar Gauranga, where are you from? Bangladesh, okay. Well, the second part of your question, yes, everything has its symptoms. So also envy will also have its symptoms. And it will manifest, when there's envy in the heart, it will manifest in the form of our speech and actions sooner or later. Will. And it is quite visible. We see extreme examples in the scriptures, like Shishupal or Duryodhan, that is meant to teach us how envy actually works. And to know that little Duryodhanas and little Shishupalas reside in our heart. So, and sometimes, as you said, yes, they may be exhibited in a very sophisticated way, but it is not difficult to discern the existence of these things. Coming to the first part of your question regarding whether what does one do if somebody else is envious of us? Yes. So, well, it depends. Maybe that person isn't really envious of us. Maybe we are just thinking that somebody is envious of us. That's also possible. Maybe there is some genuine misunderstanding. Maybe there is some miscommunication or something. And, you know, because many times we imagine things which may not be true, actually. And I've seen this many, many, many times. one person thinks this person is envious of me, he's been saying this about me. Actually, when they find out that that's not the reality, there was some misunderstanding somewhere, someone said something, someone misunderstood something, and actually the fact wasn't that at all. And then when they actually talked to each other in a Vaishnava-like way, the matter was sorted out in no time. So it may be that the person is not envious of us and we're just imagining something. So, or we've misheard something, or somebody else is just doing some gossip or something like that. So that's the first point. So don't, let us not jump to conclusions that somebody is envious of us. And even if somebody is acting in that way, let us try to see what the reason is. Have I given that person reason to be envious of me? Have I acted or spoken in a way that makes the person feel like this? So we should explore ourselves and see what we could have done. And we can try to talk to that person in a nice way and in a Vaishnava-like manner and see if the issue can be sorted out. And if nothing else can be done, maybe we can try to take the help of some senior devotees or some other peers who will try to kind of remedy the situation. And if nothing can be done, then just, you know, just chant Hare Krishna and pray to Krishna to have this resolved. And but on our side, we should not reciprocate the envy, even if it does actually exist. Okay? So fine. So I think we'll stop here now. It's 8:45 in the morning. And I'm very happy that I was able to be with all of you today. And I wish you well for your Krishna consciousness and with your courses, whether it's the Bhakti Vaibhava or any other course that you're doing. And once again, I will end with a few words of appreciation for the wonderful service that the VIHE is doing. Prashanta Mataji has been taking a lot of trouble, a lot of hard work she has been doing for many, many years. She has been holding aloft this whole project and is doing excellent service for many, many devotees worldwide. So I want to express my appreciation for that and also to all of you for having participated in these courses. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.